good, what's good, what's good, Rhythmix Radio. We back again. Season finale of Conversations on the Rocks. And it's the coolest host you know, your homie Ice.
And it's your boy Los Vegas, you already know what it is.
And Miss Tish.
What's going on? How y'all feeling, man? We back with another one. Season finale. Season finale. Conversations on the Rocks. Gio recording me. What's going on? Monday nights, 8 p.m. Make sure y'all tune in to Rhythmix Radio. That's where we're going to be at, man. You're going to hear us here having shenanigans, hilariousness, all different types of stuff. So, Monday nights, 8 p.m., we here. And we here with the season finale. Thanks for all the ladies who are all our guests this evening.
Definitely feeling the ladies.
Shout out to Maria. Shout out to my sis, Deneen. And shout out to Miss Chandra behind me. You know what I mean? We're going to get into it. We're going to have an extended one today. It's an hour and a half, so make sure y'all strap in tight. We ready to go, man. How y'all feeling? How my co-host feeling?
Great.
Y'all ready for this?
I'm sad, man. I'm about to cry like shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
We just happy you here this week. Like,
oh, shit.
Last week.
Jump right into it.
Where you been at? That's how we going to start off.
Let's get it.
Okay, well, you know what? Let me tell my story. Okay. First up, yeah. I wish I had a cool story to tell y'all. Honestly, for anybody that missed me last week when I wasn't on here and anything like that, I hurt myself.
I'm sorry.
That's like a Kevin Hart moment. Y'all just laugh like, damn. Like, hold on. Hey, look. Okay.
Shit.
So what I am gonna say, I'm gonna keep it 100 because you know that's how I am.
Please do.
I went to the little trampoline house that we got out here, you know, the fast shit that we got out here by the mall and all that. Yeah. Marie, you're laughing a little too hard, baby girl. Don't make me shut your mic off, okay? All right, so check this out. I do not suggest anybody at the age of 39 and over to go to this motherfucking place right here, okay? Because this shit, look, I went in there and it looked like it was like a whole lot of fun, man. Saw a little kid out there playing basketball because, you know, that's what I do and shit. And I was thinking like, Lois, you should go out there and dunk on one of these little niggas out there.
What?
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Okay.
I like go out there and dunk on one of them niggas. The sad thing is, I never got on the court because I was practicing on the sideline getting ready for these niggas and shit, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm jumping. Having a good time, you know what I'm saying, enjoying life, jumping again, you know what I'm saying, got a little high, I was going to jump into that little pit where all the little soft little blocks was at and everything, I was going to land in there, do a triple double salt, you know, Simone Biles out this motherfucker, I was going to do that, you know what I'm saying, when I came down the third time, ooh, shit, the third time I came down, one leg did what it was supposed to do, land, the third one, say, fuck all that shit, nigga. And crumbled me down, you know what I'm saying? So I had to sit it out. It even got worse because, like, niggas still wanted to go out, and I was with niggas, and I ain't had no ride to get the fuck back home, so I'm just hobbling. And short story, you know, my co-host checked up on me. Ice checked up on me. He's like, you good? I was like, look, bro, I'm probably about to be down for a whole week. You know what I'm saying? Don't look for me because I'm down. You know what I'm saying? Like, this hurts. And he was like, well, what happened? I said, I'll tell you about it later. 2 days later, he called me. He was like, bruh, you still ain't want to tell me what the fuck happened. I was like, don't do this to me right now.
I said, it must be embarrassing.
And it was.
Sure enough, the third jump in the goddamn defy. You're trying to defy your eyes.
This is how I know I got asshole co-host. Because after he called me, 5 minutes later, Tish said, what the fuck happened to you? Hey, first off, shut up. I don't want to talk about it. I'll tell you. And so that's what happened, y'all. Nothing really, like, yeah, that hurt. And I'm just glad I didn't go out there and try to dunk on one of them niggas because they would have been like, get this little old ass nigga off the court. Like, get his ass. He's broke up.
You was gonna hurt
yourself. I wasn't.
Went over there with
the
kids.
No, I don't. We don't know. I never went over there, so we don't know.
Because you never made it.
All right, so we want to get in the pregame and shit and see how everybody we going on this.
I bet. Let's get to back to the show.
Yeah, let's get back to the show, guys.
Get back to the show.
Take the camera off, please.
Oh, okay.
Take the camera off,
man.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hey,
the both of y'all got, man. Can you take that camera off?
That was a good story.
You better leave them trampoline parks alone, dog. Oh, they think of you young and shit fly. Oh, that shit look fun.
Man, that shit was fun.
Until you roll over and it's crawling and shit like that. Yeah, you stretch or nothing.
Come on.
Don't even look this way.
What an
ashtray. I didn't say nothing.
Yo, shout out to Rhythmix Radio. Make sure y'all tune in if you want to hear us live on the radio with all this wildness. And with no further ado, we're going to get into our first segment, pregame.
Yes, Lord.
Toast to everybody.
Salute.
Salute. Salute. Everybody, all the loved ones in the room.
Yep.
We got some loved ones in the back with a plate full of food in his face. Yeah. You know he eating good.
Go get it.
So yeah, what's the first thing y'all wanna get into in pregame? How y'all feeling? Where y'all wanna go? We got, again, everybody listening, we got two premier realtors, you know what I'm saying, in the building with us right now. So we're gonna talk a bit about real estate and life. We got Miss Chandra in the back who does marketing, and she says she does social media as well.
I'm a publicist.
Okay. But speaking of the real estate market, is it a good time to buy? Is the market like cooling down? I know houses are flying off the shelf this past pandemic with interest rates on record lows. So. Yeah. Is it right now a good time, summer 2021, to jump in the market? What would y'all say? Deneen, Marie, either or?
Go ahead, Marie.
It is a good time to buy. The interest rates, like you said, are historically low. Inventory is still a little low. The last few months, I think since June, have kind of slowed down a little bit. I think people taking vacations due to COVID. But with inventory being low and interest rates low, if you're patient, it's still a very good time to buy.
Okay. And for everybody listening, if you guys have any questions, you can chime in and let us know what the questions are. We're happy to ask the guests.
Yeah, y'all can also call in. If y'all listening or y'all on social media, y'all want to get on the, you know what I'm saying, get on the phone. Let's just don't be too drunk. Y'all can call in 703-951-7003. Again, that's 703-951-7003.
I was about to say, break them zeros down. You know, folks. I
got a quick question for y'all. Because I was actually looking for to buy last year, but instead, I noticed that the prices weren't going down, but the interest rates were changing, so I refinanced my home. So what exactly is the difference between a buyer's market and a seller's market?
So for everybody who might not have heard that, you know what I'm saying, on Rhythmix Radio, the question was, what's the difference between a buyer's and a seller's market?
The difference for me between a buyer's and a seller's market is the shift of sales. So when it's a seller's market, that means that it's very competitive. Sellers are in the choosing. They get to see what they want. They get the highest price. They get the most offers. You know, they don't have to give closing costs to the buyer and different things like that. But if you have a buyer's market, that means there's a plethora of inventory. It's all about supply and demand. So if there's more houses on the market and less buyers, then I would say that it's more of a buyer's market.
That's a great question. That makes sense. I just wanted to get a good breakdown. Appreciate
Absolutely.
That.
And right now we in the seller's market. Yeah. You would say?
Very much so.
Yes. Is houses ain't staying on the market, like...
It's overpriced.
Right. Yeah, like you got multiple offers and shit.
Yeah, but a lot of people are coming in over the asking price already.
But if you price it high to begin with, you're going to drive out a lot of that competition.
Gotcha. That's what I do with my joint. I was like, yo, I know I wanted it. I ain't going to waste no time. I threw a couple more thousand on top. Come to find out when they did the inspection or the appraisal, it went down anyway. So I was already, you know what I'm saying, happened to be good, but... Yeah,
so once they do the appraisal and you come in at a certain price and maybe $5,000 more than what they're asking for and they do the appraisal, aren't you supposed to pay out of pocket the difference or do they readjust the price?
That's only if you remove the appraisal contingency. If you remove the appraisal contingency and you offer more than what the house is valued, then you have to come out of pocket for that difference.
Okay.
But if you keep the appraisal contingency, then you get the chance to negotiate with the seller again to say, hey, the appraisal came in lower than what the house values. I'm going to need you either to lower the price. No, I have the opportunity to put that difference in, but I treat my client's pocket like my pocket, and I'm not spending that money if I don't have to. So I'm always going to ask them to lower the price, or we can back out of the contract.
That's a hustle if I never heard one before.
Do y'all keep track of how many homes you sold since you started?
Absolutely.
And how many have you guys sold?
I have to look at my numbers. I think I'm at like almost 70 from the last. I've been licensed since. That's not I'm a full-time agent, but I also do other things as well in correlation to real estate. So there's some agents that do 70 homes a year. So it just depends
on. Well, that's big here, so we gonna give you your props for that.
Thank you.
There we go.
Okay. I ain't sold a house.
And what's your numbers, Ms. D?
Well, since I've been in the lead position with my brokerage, I've done 152 in the past 4 years.
Let's take a shot for that, goddamn. Take a shot for y'all selling these goddamn houses out this bitch.
Shots on me. No.
Yeah, like that. That's what's up.
But I work with a high volume brokerage, so. Mm-hmm. Whereas last year, the first couple of years I had were kind of slow. I still did about 35 transactions. But last year in a pandemic, 58.
Wow.
Awesome.
So does that give you some type of status, like a gold or, you know, a platinum type of seller or something like that?
Well, President's Club.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Boss. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. No. Awesome.
Thank you.
So, Dee, we also wanted to salute you on some other things that, you know what I'm saying, been going on with you, you know what I'm saying? We all know you very well. Some of us know you, you know what I'm saying, longer than others, you know what I'm saying, as we've been saying. Something I wanted to salute you on, because I also have family members that's been going through the same thing that you have been going through, and you have beat that. And I just want to salute you, because, again, this is the last episode, you know what I'm saying? We're here to support all of that, and we love you very deeply, you know what I'm saying, and very
love
happy
back,
of everything that you've done. So, for those that don't know, you know what I'm saying, you've been battling, you know, the same, the cancer and everything like that. You have had a long journey. You had a beautiful baby girl. You're married to my man.
Shout out to D.O.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, can you just speak on that and just let us know how your journey has been since all of that?
Yeah. Well, in the midst of what I was saying with the 58 transactions, in the middle of the pandemic, I was pregnant. And about 30 weeks, at 30 weeks pregnancy, they diagnosed me with breast cancer. So I had to go through the chemo while I was pregnant. Then after having the baby, immediately had to continue chemo. And then I had a double mastectomy. And then I just finished up radiation. So I did, I think it was 28 treatments.
Wow.
Yeah, so over 6 weeks had to do that. But yeah, in the midst of it, blessed with a beautiful baby girl. She's strong and healthy. She's going to be a year in two weeks.
Amazing story,
so,
man.
With
motherfucking
actually,
survivor in here.
Yeah, real survivor. So
warrior.
Through all of that, what did you do?
Thank you.
That is amazing. What did you do
girl.
To keep yourself, you know what I'm saying, level-headed? Like, what was your motivation, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people give up on this type of stuff, you know what I'm saying? Feel down, going into a deep depression, you know what I'm saying? So what was your strength through this whole journey?
Honestly, my strength comes from God every day. I can't even try to slight that in the least bit. But overall, just the love of my family and just the motivation around me, knowing that I'm a big role in my family. So just knowing that my grandmother battled cancer, and I know a lot of other women, so I feel like I had to take one for the team, and I just wasn't gonna let it defeat me. That was just my driving force, was I had to fight on behalf of every woman out there, every man that loves a woman that has been through it, that it was gonna be my fight. And it was definitely a war, but I feel that I won so far. It's something I definitely will have to battle through the rest of my years, but I'm like, bring it on.
So what type of cancer was it?
I had triple negative breast cancer, so mine wasn't driven by hormones. So some of them feed off of hormones, which they thought maybe that's what it was because it came when I was pregnant. But I actually have the BRCA gene, so it was hereditary for me.
Wow. So was it like just lying dormant? Because it's not like you don't, you know, get checkups and everything every year, and then it comes whenever you're pregnant. So,
right, that is a really hard question, I think, even for some of the doctors to answer. They feel like it was in a milk duct kind of a thing, but I still feel like it was triggered by my pregnancy, because when I first had signs from it, I knew that I was pregnant. I hadn't even told Doe yet. I knew the second it happened, oddly enough. I even told him, I said, "Oh, I think I'm pregnant." And he said, "Already?" I said, "You don't know how this works." My ass came through. So, but I mean, it was weird because they say most people don't have pain from it or signs of it, I guess. But I had severe pain, and it started in my armpit. So for women that do their checkups, don't only check your breasts, because breast tissue unfortunately goes all the way up into your neck and around underneath your armpits.
Wow.
So yeah, you gotta fondle the whole area. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where I wasn't really fully educated with it and didn't even know, because my grandmother had ovarian cancer, that it was the same gene. Mm-hmm. So when you think reproductive system, it makes sense. But at the time, I was young, and it just, you know, like everybody else, it can't happen to me, you know. Like, I'm too young, they tell us, after you're 40. But right. If you have any kind of medical history with it, then I would definitely say start early. As early as 30 if you can. If not, definitely 35.
Okay.
Well, I definitely want to salute you, everybody. Please put your cups up for this, because I like this.
Thank you.
We survived. You know what I'm saying? It's been a great journey. Like I said, you know, we definitely appreciate you. We definitely love you. So, you know what I'm saying? It's
I love you back. That.
You know what I'm saying?
We definitely, can we ask a question? Because you got supporters.
Okay.
So y'all didn't know. Yeah, I was going to say, y'all didn't know.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That Rhythmix Radio is a family. We might not have been, I mean, some of us have been on the show from the beginning. Some of us have been on the show recently. But also, we showed up to show support. So always wanted to make sure y'all finale. For y'all finale, make sure that y'all realize that, you know, it's all support. We always repost y'all shit, like y'all shit, whatever. The fact that y'all on Rhythmix doing your thing is amazing. Y'all put on for a lot of people that have a voice, which is the whole point. So I'm representing this, that, and the third for Saturday. G to the I to the O. And then, obviously, we got
everybody.
The poetic one herself.
Everybody, Gio.
You know what I'm saying? Showing up. We just showing love. Just to make sure that y'all,
everybody on Rhythmix Radio and shit, y'all might not have heard that, you know what I'm saying? But we got, you know, a lot of love in the building, you know what I'm saying? Serious business. This, that, and the third, you know what I'm saying? They came through, show love for the season finale and shit. Appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate y'all.
So, to not railroad the whole show. So, I'm just going to go in to a question for your guest that you have, so keep the show going. Because I'm curious, because I'm about to be a first-time homeowner.
Okay.
So I'm going into the first-time buyers program and all of that. And so, like, my credit score is finally up. You know what I'm saying? Did all of that.
Okay.
We worked through it.
What's your question, Matt?
So my question is, what should I do as far as insurance now that you see what you have going on with, like, what's going on in Louisiana, what happened over the pandemic in Texas, things that you don't think about as a homeowner
that never happens?
Yeah. I'm a radio host, thank you. I appreciate it.
Shameless plug.
Yeah. Saturdays. Rhythmically. 7 o'clock, this, that, and the third. Because a lot of times people don't think about that. Mm-hmm. You're going into a new home, you're just excited to have your own house.
Very
true. What should I make sure that I'm covered for that things like that, like bat infestation, you know what I mean? Like, what should I look for and make sure that I'm covered for when I'm a first-time homeowner?
Great question.
I'll defer to you because that was a real good question. I feel like...
So I would first make sure the property that you're purchasing is not in a flood zone. If it's in a flood zone, if your lender is going to require you to have flood insurance. Flood insurance can be sometimes pricey, so you'd want to check with a couple different agencies on the prices of flood insurance. And then just looking at most people, when they purchase homeowners insurance, they usually purchase it through the same person they have their auto carrier. So you just want to look at what they're actually providing as far as coverages, and then the cost of like the deductibles. And you want to shop around. Just like you shop around for a lender, you want to shop around for an insurance carrier, because they, even though you may have one with your car, it may not be the same best rate for your home as well. Yeah. And then I would also consider maybe like a home warranty to cover anything that, because that doesn't, the homeowner's insurance policy just covers your house in the event of a fire, flood, if you have flood insurance, and you'd have to check with other natural
disasters. But it won't cover like a tree falling on your shit.
It depends, because that's considered an act of God, so I think it would just depend on.
They have act of God insurance?
Yes.
It's
in the contract. Falls under that category. Yeah. Like,
can I get
natural disasters.
Does that also just depend on the area you're life in insurance. As well? Like, is it like, just saying, like, maybe if I go to Arizona, I may not be looking for flood insurance, right? Maybe, or I may not be looking for, you know, if I move to New York, I won't be looking for, like, fire damage, like how California was burning and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So does it depend on the area?
And yeah, so you would want, like, in California, you're probably going to have, like, earthquake insurance and stuff like that. So it depends on, you know, the natural disasters, I guess, that are familiar to your area. And I know, like, I have several friends that work in insurance, so usually around the time like hurricanes start coming, they start calling to get flood insurance, and it's not you can't just call today and add flood insurance. It's a process. Right. So
which one has the least accidents, I would say, you know what I'm saying, like as far as like state wise you know
probably
what I'm saying,
like it's the country.
No, they have tomatoes.
Nah, I was gonna say which state or added that you've noticed, you know, just being there, like which one doesn't need that much insurance?
I don't know. I mean, up north you have snow, so that can cause collapses, roof collapses, and things like that. Out west you have wildfires, you have tornadoes. You have,
I was gonna say, I don't think anybody. I mean, just like when Texas had that ice storm, you know, you just never know. It's an act of God.
So that would be that act of God right there.
Right.
Okay.
You can't really control those things. You just have insurance is in case you need it, and we all know that sometimes when you need it, it isn't.
And it's all how it's worded too. Like I know, like when people say you hit a deer, you're supposed to say the deer hit you, so that the insurance company will cover it. So.
So speaking of that, we're talking about things in which a new homeowner may or may not know about. But speaking of even homeownership, and period, is it a good time? Should one buy a house or should they get an apartment? What would y'all say?
It's all specific to the buyer on the space that you need. I think you're probably saying like what has the better value overall. And again, that's specific to the buyer. So if you purchase a single family home, of course, you're going to gear to people that, you know, want a yard or, you know, a standalone property. Whereas, you know, townhouses are always a little, in this area, what I consider to be very easily rentable. And for me, if I had to pick one overall for an investment, I would say a townhouse. And if you do, three bedrooms.
Okay.
For sure.
For the size.
Yeah, most people have, you know, the average family, two kids and a dog. So you need three rooms and a yard. So that way, no matter what, you can always rent it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But the main thing I think that a lot of people forget that kind of rules the real estate world are schools. Wouldn't you say? It's the school.
Yeah.
Right? As a realtor, I'm not allowed to say whether it's a good school or a bad school. But at the end of the day, you can look at the school scores. You can look at the recommendation from the different parents that are there. They have different websites that you can check. You can even go to the school and talk to parents and neighbors yourself to investigate that. But if you are in an area that has higher school scores, you're just going to be a little easier to sell or rent. So if you're looking for a property, always consider the schools, whether it pertains to you or not.
That's a motherfucking gem right there.
That's the first thing that I did when I was buying a home, as I looked at where this, what school was in the area. And then I also drove around the neighborhood at night. So I went back and I went to the neighborhood at night.
Yeah, check the crime reports and different things like that. Funny story is I had a client tell me, oh, you know, I really love this house, but I checked the crime reports and the sex offenders, and there's one that lives about four doors down. She happens to screenshot it and send me a picture. Why, I know the dude. I was like, we probably shouldn't. Whole time I'm sitting here like, oh, Lord, I hope he know he on this list. You know, I know he got arrested. I just felt embarrassed for him. Like, man, come on. You got to do better.
How do they get allowed in those type of communities?
What do you mean? How are they allowed?
Because they get on the list.
Wherever you want to. Because they get on the list. You just have to register. All you got to do is register.
All you got to do is register. They all you got to. They have to.
You can choose.
I feel like they got a sex offender community where they all...
Right. In a trailer park. In a trailer park home and shit.
No, they don't.
In a motherfucking trailer park.
Maybe I need to start.
Oh, offend each other and shit.
Right. Yeah, like peeing in public.
You're right.
Peeing in public. For sure. Easily. Yeah. But it's on the buyer, and something to shout out for Virginia is it's a buyer beware state, and I don't think a lot of people understand what that really means. It means the seller doesn't have to tell you shit. They don't have to tell you anything. It's up to you to do and dig and find all the information.
Man, so some states there's like they provide that information, like it's...
Yeah, like if somebody passes away in the house, they don't have to tell you. I tell all of my clients, this is life. You have to assume that a baby was born here and somebody passed here in almost every house.
Right?
I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna be really clear. Now, if somebody killed 12 people in the house, y'all better tell me. Don't have me living in the house and a ghost come through and talking about you need to get out. I'm gonna call my realtor like, there's somebody here that wanna be on the mortgage.
But that's why you have to check all of the reports. So even if there was a violent crime at that house, I mean, most of the time they'll record the address. So a lot of that stuff, you just Google the address. You'll find out a lot of information about
that
property. You have to research.
Where the house might be on the market for a while, is that? No, I need to.
If people know about it, yes, it might be on the house. It might be on the market a while.
No, I never even thought about that. That's a good reason to say why has it been on the market for so long.
And sometimes you get a deal, right? They want to get out of the house. They don't want those memories that they were left with.
First of all, I don't care if it's a dollar. I'm not moving when those spirits have been disrupted and things. No,
but you'd be surprised. I'm sure you've probably rented a place and you didn't even know it.
I'm on my second rental.
I'm just saying, you always have to assume it's a part of life. It's a part of life.
They only go to the homeowners and shit.
That's funny as shit. Do y'all let somebody know somebody was shot over there last week?
They do not have disclosed that in the state of Virginia. I don't know what.
I've never heard that.
I think there's probably about.
If I owned a bitch, I wouldn't tell that shit if it happened either, though, to be honest. If it was my bitch, you know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, if something happens at that property, you just out.
Hey, man, it's still a business out here.
Money doesn't sleep, okay?
Like when you sell crack, if that nigga died off, baby, I'm not supposed to steal something.
But I mean, on a lighter note, like even if there was a fire to the property, they don't have to disclose that. You should do a full home inspection so that you can see like, oh, this house was only built 10 years ago. Why was there a new roof placed on? And you can see that sometimes because you can see like the different holes and say, oh, there's a second set of roof on here. I'm just saying, you have to do your own due diligence to research that property and find out the true condition so that once the day that you own it, that you're fully aware of all of it because you can't return it. It's not like shoes.
I want a discount if I see below.
It all depends on your agent. If your agent can... Yeah, I mean, you might be able to get a discount or money off depending on the situation. If there was a house fire and they had a full, renovation of all of the areas that were touched, they don't have to tell you. If it's something that was fixed, they don't have to tell you. If the property fully flooded, but they fix and address the issue, they don't have to tell you. I'm not going to go around and tell you every light bulb I changed. You know what I mean? So if things are fixed, they don't have to disclose.
I never knew that there were states. I just thought that was just for every state. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, because I'm only licensed in Virginia, so I can't practice in another state unless I have a license there.
The buyer, but beware. I didn't know.
It's all, yeah.
It's everywhere, but I only bought in Virginia, so I'm just assuming it's everywhere.
People, I think, forget the basis of real estate is law. That's the main reason I got into it, because I've always wanted to be in law. And there's a lot of accountability for it. So it's all, we take a national exam, but you still take a state test as well. So you, every state has different laws, whether it's, you know, speeding, you know, there's different, you know, miles per hour in different places. So you can't just have like the same set of rules for each state otherwise.
DC has a seller's disclosure you have to complete. And Maryland has a seller's disclosure as well, but you don't have to disclose anything.
Huh. Okay. Check it for open permits. Open
permits? That's, yeah, that's on the purchaser at the end of the day. A lot of people will. Liens is on the title company. They will check for that.
CYA information. Checking for open permits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, if you purchase it without checking for open permits, the purchaser, you know, once you buy it, it's your.
It's now your responsibility.
So you know, if something were to happen, you know, whether it be damage to the property or you were to go to sell it and somebody checks for open permits,
right?
You're gonna have to, you know, possibly rip open walls and have them check structure.
Somebody,
you know, mechanical things or other things like that, and if it's not done
right, it's on you to fix. Yeah, usually when there's an addition or any built-ons to the house, you always want to confirm that the permits, it was permitted first of all, because that it wasn't done by somebody's uncle, brother, or
Harry homeowner.
Let me ask you something. So who is, if I'm the homeowner of that house, can I pick my own inspector to come inspect the house?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's where that shit goes wrong right there.
Why?
Me, because I do HVAC, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I have seen additions to these motherfucking houses where you all just put anything, like, honestly.
Any kind of way.
And honestly, because maybe I'm trying to get rid of the house or because I got somebody ready to move in right then and there, I done just added on this fucking bathroom, and now that shit is fucked up. But now, for me as an HVAC person, you done put this system so fucking tight in there with the washer and dryer and the motherfucking water heater. And somebody said, hey, yeah, that's good to go. Go ahead and sell this motherfucker.
No, it's not.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Hey, fuck y'all, okay? This is what we need to stop this and do something about this right the fuck now, okay? I am starting a petition right the fuck now. Dean Maria, y'all got to get with me on this.
So have y'all had?
They got real personal. They got real personal.
You seen some shit? You
heard it? Well, I just spit a whole like 16 bars on that track. Off the chain. But have y'all ever had to defend like a client that was trying to purchase a home or something, and you guys go through the inspection? And now you have to battle it out with the homeowner. Does that become a problem, or does the homeowner usually give in and correct whatever needs to be corrected?
Most times, the seller will, just depending on what it is that's being asked for. I always tell my clients, you know, if it's something small, like, you know, paint or something like that, those are things that you can fix on your own. But you always want to make sure that the electrical system is working. There's no issues with the plumbing. Heat and AC, everything else works. Those are the roof is okay. Those are the major items you want to be concerned about during a home inspection.
Inspections are mostly visual.
Right. For me, I tell my clients straight up, the home inspection is not about you always finding out what is wrong with your home. It's about you educating yourself about how to operate your home. Mm-hmm. Some people don't even know what a water shutoff is, but you need to know where that is in case something goes awry. You know, so I always tell them, you know, take that moment to really educate yourself. Again, knowing the full condition of the property. I can't stress that enough. I'm mostly a buyer's agent, if you can't tell. But for me, when it comes to, like, if the sellers give in, is what you were saying, I'm a bulldog. you already know. So I don't take no's well. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep asking you a different way until I get the response that I want. So
this is so, true.
I'm like, okay, well let's just reword that. You know, so I really do. Like right now I'm battling between just for the price. You know, we're at literally $1,000 difference and I've been going at it all day, but I'm not backing down for my client because I treat her pocket like my own. Mm-hmm. And I'm frugal. So I don't want her to spend any more than she's already budgeted for. But at the end of the day, when it comes to those repairs, she said, cosmetics things we don't want to focus on. But when it comes to electrical, plumbing, and anything related to safety, that's what we got to focus on. I don't want you buying a house, especially as a new buyer, a first-time home buyer, and you spending all your savings on your, you know, down payment and your closing costs, and now you've got to repair the roof, the windows, and all the major systems. Those are the things off the rip you want to make sure are intact, because mm-hmm. that's what makes a house. Mm-hmm. So I don't really care if you don't like the paint color. I'll come help you paint it. You know, that's easy stuff. But a roof, that is your house. Without that, we're just outside. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right. Yeah. So I really think that, you know, you have to make sure that you interview your agent and make sure that they are going to negotiate the way that you want to be negotiated for. Some people don't always know that I'm a bulldog because they see that I'm pleasant with them and you know, I showing them houses and we're nice and I treat them really like I treat myself or friends and family. But on the other side, I let them know, you never want to meet her. You know, like, no one likes her. So, at the end of the day, she gets what she wants. Right. And as long as you can tell me what you want, then I'll battle for you. And honestly, I work for you. I tell my buyers, customers all the time, you don't pay me. I'm a free service to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of the best free services you'll probably ever get in your life, because the seller's going to pay me. So it's a little different, whereas I really do it because I genuinely want to help people, you know, get into house and make it an easier process. It's a really big, overwhelming purchase.
It is.
You know, again, the main reason I got into this is because I'm a salesman. You know, I could sell a blind man contacts. But, you know, it's about the biggest purchase that you could make. And it's not something you could easily return if you change your mind. So I really like to make sure that people know exactly what they're getting into, how to protect themselves, how to appeal to the seller when negotiating, and back and forth. And then on the other side, when you're helping sellers, they also have a need. You know, they're transitioning into a new position, whether they're downsizing because they're empty nesters now, or they're upgrading because now they have too many kids and not enough bedrooms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you're transitioning somebody into a different part of life. Mm-hmm. So if you really can just take yourself out of it and be really transitional and just treat people like people, then you really get far in this business.
That sounds like the reason why you're so successful too and shit. Okay, I hear you. But it makes sense though.
Right, you should show three houses and pick one. Like, this ain't HGTV.
Right.
You know? I have some clients who've seen 87 houses. And it's like, I don't like any of them. And that's fine. I want you to be particular. I'm particular. You're not just going to tell me what I want. Right. I know what I want.
But the thing is the budget, though. Like,
hey,
even on the
you can always want too much.
You hear a motherfucker say, man, I want like a 5-bedroom house and this and that and that. And I'm just coming in there like 200,000. Like,
you got to move to Texas.
Where the fuck are you going to get that shit if you don't move out? I mean, but do you
Texas.
Have
Arizona.
Like, yeah. But do you have people actually come up to you like that?
Are you kidding me?
Hey, I just need 6, you know,
it'd be
two
the people
garage.
With the least bit of money. They got so much.
Yeah. Like,
when you're new to it.
Go ahead.
What's the lowest you ever heard somebody come in just like demanding a whole bunch of shit and say, I only got like $100,000.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
On a good day.
Can you work with me?
No. We gonna try to make it work. We might find you a little condo. We might go to River Place in Arlington.
Oh. Oh wow, we're laughing that one out. No. I'm not going there.
Well, it's because they're on a land lease, so they're really cheap, but it's probably gonna be torn down eventually. So, yeah. Other than that. No, it's a con. It's a co-op. Actually, it's not even a condo.
Yeah, we're gonna have this one.
It's a co-op. I had something else.
Hey man, welcome to.
So tell me this: like, what made y'all get into real estate? Like, what made y'all get into the real estate industry?
I've always had a passion for real estate from when I was younger.
Rich dad, poor dad?
Huh?
Was it rich dad, poor dad? That's how I love it.
So when my parents bought their house, going with them to look at model homes and stuff like that, it just always piqued my interest. And I used to draw, like, floor plans. I wanted to be an architect when I was younger.
Shit.
Mm. So I used to draw, like, floor plans of what I wanted my house to look like. And then having kids, working, being a government contractor, coming home at, like, 5 o'clock in the evening, baths, dinner, homework, all that other stuff, it was just... It was too much, so I needed to be on my own schedule and be able to be flexible for my kids. So
that's what's up.
For me, again, just being a hustler and knowing that it's one of the biggest purchases you can make. Initially, I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And then I moved on to wanting to be an accountant. I'm good with numbers.
Okay.
So this was one of those things that just, started all in a pot, came out real estate. So, and then I had what I call a role model. My term of endearment for her is rich bitch. She's a bad mama jamma. Yeah. I've known her for probably, I want to say, half of my life now, and I've never seen her work. She has rental properties. She keeps them up.
Hmm.
She flips them when she needs to. Otherwise, she's out on her boat with her hair flapping in the wind.
Yeah.
So I want to be her eventually, and most likely I will get there. But, she's definitely a good role model. And it just showed me, especially in this area, you could really capitalize off a rental. Because you can get, especially if you have a good credit score. For my lender, he just wants you to have at least a 640.
Okay.
And if you need help to do that, just call me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy ways to kind of boost your credit that a lot of people don't always know about.
FHA?
To boost your credit?
No, I'm talking
about. That's a loan type,
Okay.
I mean, you can get that, but I'm just saying there's a lot of easier ways to get what you want. And that's why I'm in this business, ultimately. I want to be able to help people that don't know certain things, to help help educate people that, need to know it's not that hard. It can be achieved, and... I think we've always, especially I say us, as in, the black community, they don't always show us the way to go. And I feel like we all have a responsibility to teach somebody the next one, So you big homie to somebody.
Yeah.
So the point is, I want to make sure that everybody knows that we have this opportunity to own land. And that's what they definitely didn't want us to have. So,
Get that property. Get that land. They ain't making no more of it. Go ahead and put your name on some out there. That's real.
Just get into our next guest we got back there.
Shondra, you can pull up right here.
We've been trying to tell you, come pull up.
Say what now?
Pull up.
Come pull up one time.
1 second. Let me pull up. Got a lot of luggage.
Is there still weed over there? Is there still some weed over there?
Are you? What is your name? What do you do?
Well, my name is Chandra Gore. I am the principal consultant and publicist at Chandra Gore Consulting. I'm also the CEO and producer of SCM Productions. We do comedic events and different things. I'm the founder of the Greater Northern Virginia Comedy and Film Festival. I am also the lead organizer for the Urban Flight Foundation, which is my community organization, voter registration and all of that jazz. And that's about it for right now.
Did you mention that didn't you help write or co-author a book?
Yes, I actually have. I wrote my own books, and then I contribute to a lot of books, like three or four.
What's the name of these books and what they're about?
So I contributed to Redefine Your 9-to-5. That's how I planned on leaving my 9-to-5. I give tips on how to do that. It's like 49 other authors who have, contributors who have either left their 9-to-5 or maximized their time to the 9-to-5. And then also, I have A Gray Skies Over Darkness. It's an anthology. It's my first published work where I'm talking about my time dealing with domestic violence and coming out of that. Okay. And then I have a book of poetry. And I'm also... The next one is Breathe. It's not Breathe. I forgot the full title, but it just won an award. I forgot the name of it. But it's about my time after George Floyd was killed and how I navigated in the world after that, and especially in business and with my family. So, yes, I also contribute, write for a couple of publications, including my own. So, yeah.
So, do you sleep?
I nap.
Oh yes.
A busy person.
Yeah, and my ADHD helps with that. So I'm always doing something. So I maximize it by being productive.
Okay. Yeah, so. And do you have kids?
Yes, three.
Awesome.
Wow. But my kids. What you did? Knocking them out? Giving them love?
No, my kids are older. I was thankful. I got married. I got married young. So I had my got married at 18, had my son at 19. He's about to be 19 this year. Well, my daughter 19. Is 17. Thank you, girl. Black don't crack unless you won't crack. But my kids are of age. I don't have to bother with them too much, but I do push them to be greater than they, you know, to be greater than me. So each one of them has their own business. They're doing their own thing. So
yeah. I like to hear that.
Yeah, with a mom like me, you better not be slipping.
With the game.